we are kind of in the most unusual times in recent history. I mean, certainly in my life, and at times this sometimes unusual times can call for, well, unusual responses. As a minister, I fully believe that that we're in such a time. The morals of our nation have been degraded. What's in it for me has trumped love your neighbor. And those who already have too much are building their towers of wealth and power on the backs of those who have far too little. And worse yet, the system is designed to keep it that way. And that said, it's not only a moral gathering before, but I am going to today. Much of what is here is what Senator Harris spoke to us about yesterday evening. And today my talk after this is going to be on the power of words. So one of the things that I want you to notice about this letter is how the words look to build, how the words look to build us, well, to build us up rather than to tear others down like we see from far too many politicians nowadays. So, with that said, let me share with you a letter from Vice President Joe Biden and Senator Kamala Harris. Dear friends, thank you for the chance to extend well wishes to each of you as you come together in a celebration of faith. At a time when our country continues to grapple with the effects of a global pandemic, deepening economic struggles for so many, and the pernicious persistence evil of racial injustice, it is communities of faith like yours that give us hope that our best days still lie ahead, and we are grateful for the opportunity to share our vision for how we'll get there together. Our faith teaches us it's incumbent upon us to ensure everyone has the chance to reach their God-given potential. And right now, that starts with effectively addressing the COVID-19 crisis. Our plan to combat the pandemic includes decisive public health and economic measures urgently needed for relief for families and small businesses and the communities hardest hit. And we're going to build back a stronger, more resilient, more inclusive economy that rewards work, not just wealth. We'll make sure that we provide every family with access to fair wages, quality health care, good neighborhood schools, and stable retirement. Our faith also labor hour by hour, day by day, to bend the moral arc of the universe towards the justice our faith beckons us to pursue. In his final op-ed to the New York Times, Congressman John Lewis called on us to redeem the soul of the nation. When you see something that is not right, you must say something. You must do something, he writes. Democracy is not a state. It is an act, and each generation must do its part to help build what we call the beloved community, a nation and world society at peace with itself. In these challenging times with so much at stake, his prophetic words ring resoundingly true. But he doesn't stop there. Voting and participating in the democratic process are key, he says. The vote is the moral power, is the most powerful nonviolent change agent you have in a democratic society. You must use it because it is not guaranteed. You can lose it. So today we invite you to stand with us, they say. Stand with us together as we pursue a redemptive vision for our country, centered in the inherent human dignity of all God's children. And we invite you to commit to voting, recruiting others to vote, and doing everything you can to bend the moral arc of the universe in the right direction. We would be humbled, they say, to have your support, your voice, and your advocacy on behalf of the campaign. There's a lot of work to be done, And over the next several weeks, we will be working hard to earn your support. Together, ours can be the story of a generation which, in the face of adversity, fought the fight, finished the race, and kept the faith. God bless you. God bless America. And may God bless our troops. Sincerely, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris. I'm going to let that just stand on its own. As I said, these are indeed unusual times. And I hope as we move forward here that you heard the use of words and how they were meant to build us up. Our scripture reading today comes from the book of James. I'm going to read chapter 3 through 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes is speaking perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey, we guide their whole body. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of inequity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed, and has been tamed by the human species, but no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessings and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of those words. So my sermon today is entitled, Do You Kiss Your Mother With That Mouth? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Interestingly enough, we never say that except when somebody's is hurting us with their words. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Trying to convince ourselves that the words don't hurt. But they do. Words can cut like a knife. The book of Proverbs understands this. It says, there are those whose words cut like a sword. Buddha tells us that words have the power to both destroy and heal. Anyone who's been at the receiving end of a bully's wrath knows that words are as blunt as stones and as sharp as a honed stick. We should know better than to repeat the old adage about sticks and stones, but we don't seem to grasp fully the power of words. Now, I have no doubt that some of you were picked on bullied growing up. And I imagine most of you who were would admit that they really did hurt you in some way. Amanda Cummings says her interests are animals and poetry, shopping, Katy Perry music, summer afternoons by the pool, and excursions to Manhattan, where she hopes to live someday. What many people didn't know was Amanda was the victim of bullying. Oh, it was nothing too severe. being in person or Facebook, she was always being berated for her unwillingness to conform. As a natural blonde, she dyed her hair black, she pierced her lip, wore high heels to school and lots of makeup. At New Dorp High School, that kind of self-expression, well, it was not well accepted. As her cousin said, kids didn't like her because she didn't know how to follow the crowd. Several years ago, on December 1, she wrote this on Facebook. "Then I'll go kill myself with these pills, this knife. This life has already done half the job." On December 27th, with the suicide note in her hand, she stepped out into a busy street right in front of a bus. "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Bones will heal, but the cut of the right word might fester for a lifetime. They could even end a life. Never forget that words are that powerful." In our reading today, James compares our tongues with bits that you would put into a horse's mouth. And it's curious to consider how our tongues are like a bit in a horse's mouth. The text also compares the human tongue to the rudder on a ship. Now, something to consider is how are those two, the bit and the rudder, different? Then the reading says, "So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire." So it's interesting to consider the difference between seeing words as a bit or a rudder, and then seeing them as a fire. The first two, bit and rudder, they're about control. Fire, on the other hand, is not always controllable. Is there anything to learn in the difference? It may be that what he is getting at is you can't take words back. You can steer them by carefully choosing them. That'd be sort of the bit reference. And you can use them to steer or guide you. That'd be the rudder reference. But once you have said them, they are like fire. And even the smallest words can set the world on fire for good or for bad. The simple little words, "love your neighbor as yourself," have changed lives for the better every day. And the simple little unkind words push people to suicide every day. Our words matter. They not only shape who we are, they can make all the difference in the world, for good or for bad. "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can change my brain." Our words matter, not just because of the fire that they can become, not just because they can change lives and even the world, for better or worse, but because they can change us, for better or worse. As Jane finishes the text for today, he says this about our tongue and our words: "With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessings and cursings." My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Or as the saying goes, do you kiss your mother with that mouth? as we've already seen and discussed, our words are powerful things, but there is something behind our words that are more powerful. Our thoughts. The reason why we say the words. If we build someone up, there are sponsoring thoughts behind our words that define us as people who love others. And people who wish to see them happier, better, healthier. If we gossip, there are sponsoring thoughts behind our words that define us as people who judge us. See ourselves as better or more important than others. Our words are important. Our words can steer us like a bit in the mouth of a horse. They are not just things that determine the direction that we go, like the rudder of a ship. They are the hands that mold and shape our very souls on the potter's wheel called life. They not only shape our souls for good or bad, but they reveal the shape of our souls, the good and the bad. Our words are the very windows to our souls. So our thoughts naturally go there frequently first. However, a single negative word can increase the activity in our amygdala, the fear center of the brain. This releases dozens of stress-producing hormones and neurotransmitters, which in turn interpret our brain functionings negatively. This is especially true with regard to logic and reason. Language as well. Angry words, they say, send alarm messages through the brain, and they partially shut down the logic and reasoning centers located in the frontal lobes. They say that using the right words can transform our reality. According to them, by holding a positive, optimistic word in your mind, you stimulate the frontal lobe activity. And this area includes specific language centers that connect directly to the motor cortex responsible for moving you into action. And as their research has shown, the longer you concentrate on positive words, the more you begin to affect other areas of the brain. Functions in the parietal lobes start to change, which changes your perception of yourself. And the people you interact with. A positive view of yourself will bias you towards seeing others in positive light. Whereas a negative self-image will include you to think more negatively and doubtfully about other people. And over time, the structure of your thalamus will also change in response to your conscious words, your thoughts, your feelings, and the authors, they believe that the thalamic changes affect the way in which you perceive reality. Words change us. The lesson to learn here is to choose your words wisely and not solely because of what they say about other people, but because of what they say about you and how they shape you. If you know you have been less than loving in the words you use, and maybe feel a bit bad about what that may be saying right now about you, well, take heart. I have good news. You can change all of that. From this moment forward, choose more carefully your words. Like a bit in the mouth of a horse, you can choose which way they go, good or bad, positive or negative. If you use them to build people up, you will find that at the same time, you are building yourself up and bettering your soul in the process. And the best news of all is that we grow our souls into more loving, caring, and accepting souls. We As we do that, we grow ourselves closer to God, and that's what our spiritual journey is all about. And it makes the world that much more of a better place for everyone. Amen. Let's move straight on into our prayer. You can accept this as a prayer, as poetry, as just words that wash across you. You can just listen for words that inspire you or bring you to some other thought. Whatever is right for you, I hope you'll practice and join us now. Good and gracious God, too frequently this world is a world of pain and difficulties. We pause now in silence and remember those in our lives who are up against hard times. Loving God, too frequently in the world, we are not part of the solution. Too frequently, we are part of the problem. We use our words to judge others, to tear them down rather than to build them up, to speak negatively of them because of the way they dress, the way they look, the way they worship, the way they talk, the way they vote, the way they do anything that's different from our way or what we approve of. So just as we have prayed for others who are up against hard times in their lives, we pray for ourselves as well. Be with us and encourage us. Encourage us to use our words wisely. May we always strive to have them be a reflection of your love rather than a reflection of our judgment or worse yet, a reflection of what we imagine to be your judgment. Help us all create a better world with less pain and judgment and more love and more support. We ask these things in your name. Amen.